All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, September 5th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
Norrie Dunn.
Throwing me off again. This is James Davis, and we're from Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings.com or DFSR.com for short, /NFL. We'll get you a free 7-day trial to our projection system. If you sign up now, those 7 days will take you through the first week of NFL. So,
What's the catch? What's the catch on that? I didn't even notice that.
There's no catch, buddy. There's literally no catch to this. Unless there is one, and I don't know about it. Maybe you installed some kind of catch that I'm just not aware of.
It's a pretty huge catch, actually. I don't want to give it away, but people will find that.
You'll be so surprised next Tuesday when you find out. /NFL, free 7-day trial to that projection system, takes you through NFL, and then just $29.95 a month after that. That covers you for baseball, football, basketball when the time comes, all under one subscription blanket. So you're all good to go. Buddy, we are in what you would consider to be the dog days of summer here. I was taking a look. I don't really look too often at the baseball standings because, like, hashtag who cares. But I took a look this morning, and man, thank God for DFS baseball, because I just can't – I'm trying to think back to when we did DFS wasn't in our lives and we still really, really cared about baseball. And I'm just trying to remember why, because some of these
fantasy baseball was the answer.
That must have been it, yes.
Because the thing is, there's exactly one race in question right now, and that's like the second NL wildcard slot. Well, I take it back, the second AL wildcard slot as well. But it's not good. There isn't a lot to root for if you're a fan of 90% of the teams in baseball. So
yeah, like if you're a Giants fan and you're like, you know what, we're 38 and a half games out. There are 22 left to play.
Yeah, now. I mean, you don't know.
We might be able to catch the Padres. Yeah, the Padres are so good this year, man. They're 10 games ahead of us.
Dude, they're just hitting bombs, man. What are we supposed to do out here?
So anyway, we can get into some DFS baseball that thankfully is still around, because that is what keeps this – kind of keeps baseball interesting on a day-to-day basis. A lot of good pitchers going today. Yeah, we're coming off a day where pitching was a little rough for both – pretty much the whole – day, I guess Carlos Martinez was pretty good, but other than that, pitching was kind of rough around the edges. Today we don't have that same case. We have a bunch of guys that were at least a couple that I would consider into like that ace class, and guys a little bit below. Where do you think we start with pitching here? I mean, the big names here, DeGrom and Strasburg, and there's some other ones. One of these guys jump out to you for cash games here.
Yeah, I think it actually comes down to a decision almost if you want to go expensive or cheap here. I think if you're going to go expensive, for me, it's like maybe a little clear cut at this point to go in DeGrom's direction. He and Strasburg are roughly the same price. In fact, Strasburg a little bit more expensive, but DeGrom was just drastically a better matchup. You know, like going up against the Phillies, I get that they've gotten a little bit better as the season's gone along, but still not a strong team against right-handed pitching. Miami does have considerable pop, and you know, the Phillies, yeah, with that combination of a bottom five WOBA against right-handers and one of the top five strikeout rates in the league, it's just kind of a dream spot. DeGrom's still, a top-tier ace-level guy. And, I just think he's a pretty clear-cut play for me. I mean, do you think people will roll out Strasburg?
I could see them doing it. I have, like, a weird thing with DeGrom. I'm wondering if I should just go back and look at, like, the times that I've rostered DeGrom this year, because
to see if he's screwed you.
No, I think I've just rostered him in all his bad games. Like, I think that because I'm, like, every time we get on the podcast here and his turn to pitch, I look at his stats and I'm like, man, he's still just been great this year, but I have one of these biases where I'm just wondering if I've just happened to have rostered him on, like, because he's had some real bad games a couple times, not for the course of the season, but like he has some blow up games on his resume here, like, you know, 10 hits, 5 runs against the Marlins a couple weeks back, 5 runs against the Yankees. You know, maybe those aren't the matchups. 4 runs against St. Louis.
He's actually had relatively bad starts in his 3 of his last 4, and that's why I think we're getting him a little cheaper. The start right before that was at Philadelphia, this very same team where he went 6 2/3 with 9 Ks and no runs. No walks, you know, so I think, I think he's in a great spot, but I agree. I mean, it is hard over the course of a season, especially there's some guys who will tend to pop up at the top of the optimizer, and then if they run bad, they're just going to pop up more because their FanDuel is going to overcorrect or DraftKings is going to overcorrect on their price, but our underlying metric and our underlying model is going to adjust only ever so slightly, and that's just going to create more and more value. And I think that's actually what's happened here with DeGrom. I think those last 4 starts where things didn't go perfectly for him, I think FanDuel and DraftKings are overcorrecting, and I think he remains a good value as a result.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much a lock for me on FanDuel at 10-1. The Strasburg is more expensive than him there. I don't think you need to pay more for Strasburg in this scenario. So not worried about there. I'm a little worried about both their prices on DraftKings. He's 12-6 on DraftKings. That means you're giving, you know, roughly 25% of 25% of your salary cap is going to go to just to just playing DeGrom. He's good. I'm not sure he's that good. You know, when you allocate that much money toward cap for a pitcher, you really kind of need to be in that like Sale, Kershaw, Scherzer class of pitchers that are just. I mean, Kluber kind of creeps toward that group as well. This class of pitchers that is just amazingly consistent and just kind of doesn't have like much downside in their resume. I mean, I know Sales has.
Yeah, you lock in their price and their production and. Then you make do with like worse guys at other positions, but yeah, DeGrom isn't quite on that level.
No, I don't think he is. Now he's been great this season. For the course of the season, averaging over more than 10 strikeouts per nine. His walks are up a little bit this year. You know, we talked about this early in the year. We thought that may have stemmed from him just throwing the ball harder this season. His velocity is up over the course of the year, and it seems like that could be what maybe is driving the walk rate to get back up like over 2.5, because he had been flirting toward the last year the walk rate was only a 2, the year before only 1.8, which was his best year in 2015 when he struck out close to 10 and he had under 3 xFIP. What we're seeing now is probably just more of the reality, though the K's are up. All this being said, FanDuel, I think it's a pretty easy call here on him. DraftKings, I'm not sure we get there on him just because he needs to have the money line needs to creep up, or the Phillies need to trot out a lineup that probably strikes out just a little bit more than they do, because the top of the lineup doesn't K a ton, and obviously Hoskins makes the team just better all around, just hitting in the middle of the lineup. Okay, so if we're going to go pretty much DeGrom on FanDuel, maybe we can pivot to Strasburg. If we wanted to go cheaper here on DraftKings or get away from these guys, there's a group underneath these two that have pedigree. They also have some question marks. If you want to go a little cheaper on DraftKings or pivot away on FanDuel, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually two quite good options here. The more expensive of those is Danny Salazar. Salazar is kind of a headache to roster because you just kind of never know what you're going to get. Like some games he'll go out there and just make it through 5 innings. Some games he'll top out at 7. I think generally speaking, you're signing up for a lower inning start. He rarely falls below the threshold where he doesn't qualify for the win, which is nice. But the fact that that's even a discussion obviously makes it pretty problematic to consider shipping out $9,700 for him. The thing that he brings, though, is just probably the best K per inning stuff in the majors. I mean, I don't want to overstate things, but the fact that he just goes out there and cuts down 12.5 guys per 9 innings is very significant for, you know, a guy like we see what DraftKings normally charges for guys like this, which is 12,500. Now, he doesn't bring the same long innings upside thanks to his walk rate, but I think he's always a consideration when he comes in under 10,000. And then from there, you just kind of look at the matchup. And well, the White Sox are an even better matchup than the Phillies this season. The White Sox have 23.3% K rate, which is just half a percentage lower than the Phillies, as I mentioned earlier, and a 306 WOBA, which is the worst in the AL and the third worst in the majors overall. So I do think Salazar is a very, very strong option here.
Let me ask you.
He also has a tremendous money line thanks to going up against David Holmberg. So, just a lot to like.
Yeah, the problem with Salazar, he's just always hurt. Like, the guy just gets hurt all the time, and here he's coming off the DL. Now, I'm wondering if that changes your mind at all. Now, the money line's great. His matchup's great. His number, everything you said is correct. And for sure, you don't get guys like with this kind of K upside in this kind of price range. But I mean, are we worried about pitch count here? He only threw 25 pitches in a simulated game, according to this news note here. There's some speculation that he might only throw like in the 70, maybe like, you know, get to 70 or 80 pitches. I mean, how worried about pitch count are you here? It's his first game back. He's been dinged up this season. The guy's just has injury problems in the past. Like, and that's usually what, if I remember last year, it was like he got blown up twice because he just didn't tell people he was hurt. And then they kind of stuck him on the DL. Are you worried that he's coming off the DL here and he's going to be on a pitch limit?
Yeah, and that's definitely a consideration. I mean, he only missed one start, so it's not like a long DL stint. But obviously with elbow issues and the Indians playing meaningful games here, it's definitely, you know, something of a concern. I guess, well, I don't know. I'll take it in two directions here. Like, if it were the middle of the summer, say, I would assume that he would get his full run. But I don't know. With expanded rosters, you know, they might just go out there and pitch him like 4 or 5 innings and then just turn it over to a never-ending bullpen. So, yeah, maybe that's a bigger concern as I'm thinking about it than I first gave credit
to. Yeah, I'm going to need to get like some definitive news on this.
That's what I think I am too.
The price is so cheap on DraftKings that it's going to be hard to get away from, even with a significant, well, not a significant, but something of a innings reduction. I think we only have him at like 5.25 innings right now per start or something like that. Like, it's pretty low for him already. And if you took him down to 5, which is maybe reasonable if you thought that he was going to be on a pitch count, he still might just be a value here just because all the other factors are just weighing so much in his favor. You know, Vegas is one of those things too. It's like, sometimes you want to knock on the door and just say, you know, what are we factoring into here? Because the Indians are -260 and White Sox have an implied run line like around 3.5. That strikes me as we're getting a lot of Salazar and he's going to shut them down, right? Like you can get into bullpens and bullpens can be pretty effective over the course just because it's easier to strike guys out when you come out of the bullpen. But do you think like that's factored in here to the Vegas price? Because the Indians are they're by far the biggest favorite in the day. And I don't know if that would be the case if the expectation was that Salazar was only going to go like 3 innings.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, the White Sox are so bad at hitting that maybe they're, you know, being given less credit than a normal team would, but agreed. Like that, those kind of low run totals you don't typically see when Vegas anticipates 5 or 6 innings out of a bullpen. So yeah, I'm with you there.
After Salazar, if we maybe get spooked a little bit on just whether or not he's going to pitch at all, other guys we need to roster here on DraftKings, because now, you know, we're starting to get into a weird spot here. If we think that DeGrom and Strasburg are too expensive and Salazar has question marks around pitch count, like where now, I mean, are there enough guys here to even throw out a meaningful team that are in good enough spots?
Yeah, I think I'd turn back to Michael Wacha, which, you know, isn't going to inspire a lot of courage and good feelings in people's hearts because we've played him a lot and when he's not been so good this season. But Wacha overall just isn't a bad pitcher. I mean, he's with the 8.4 K rate and the 3 walks per 9, that's a totally serviceable ratio for a guy who's coming this cheap on DraftKings right now. And well, again, you know, he's probably pretty unlikely to go out there and be the highest scoring pitcher on the day. He's only 6,900. And perhaps more importantly, he has the best possible matchup for a pitcher. Like he's at Petco against the Padres. They can't hit, you know, I guess the Wacha, that'd be a good nickname. I guess he's only a -150 favorite here, but the Padres are not only the worst hitting team against right-handed pitching, they're also the team that strikes out the most. So it's really a tremendous spot, and it's hard to walk away from 6,900 on a guy. Like, I feel like our system would want to play basically anyone at 6,900 at the Padres, and the fact that Wacha actually is a kind of a real guy and has some strikeout stuff makes him all that more appealing.
Yeah, he's pretty much a lock for me on starting pitcher too, especially considering that we're going to want to either pay up for pitching in that starting pitcher one spot or pay up for some bats, because there are some teams with some pretty high run totals today. So I think Wacha just pretty much fits the bill perfectly for a guy. Checks all the boxes for what you want from starting pitcher too. Agreed, he's not the best pitcher in the world, but you know, close to 8.5 strikeouts per 9, xFIP under 4. That's just fine for me for considering the matchup. Like you said, Padres stink. Someone said the other day that like they're like pesky team. I was like, what does that even mean? They're not pesky. They stink. Like, I guess pesky is like the word for like the old David Eckstein thing. Like, he's pesky. Oh, that's like the word for like he blows. Like
exactly.
We just can't think of another word, because otherwise you're just like, oh, they mash, they're good. They're pesky is like you watch a couple of their games and they happen to score.
They don't strike out much and they foul off a lot of balls before ultimately grounding out to second base.
Right, exactly. So like, let's not get confused about like if you've rostered people against the Padres before and it hasn't worked out every single time. If you roster guys against the Padres for the course of the season, you're easily making money off that venture, because they are, again, they never score runs. They have by far the least amount of runs scored in the league. That's not likely to change considering their lineup. So now this is
Well, again, importantly, Vegas doesn't really correct in the other direction for things like this, right? So like Vegas corrects on, or not Vegas, I'm sorry, Vandal and DraftKings, they correct for bats, like going to Coors, but it's not like you have to pay a premium to get pitchers against the Padres. In fact, in this case, you're getting a discount on Wacha. So yeah, I think if you pitch the pitcher against the Padres at Petco all season, you've done very well for yourself.
Yeah, and if you wanted, even on FanDuel, if you want to spend up for some bats, he's only 6,900 over there as well. You know, usually you don't need to spend down into this range, but for tournaments, it's not a bad idea here, just considering the matchup. And he is a guy that can with the Padres can go later into games, and Petco does correct a lot for power because you just have a hard time hitting the ball out there. So I don't usually advocate paying this far down. Definitely not for cash games. You don't need to do it. You can just roster DeGrom and feel fine about it, I think. But for tournaments as well, I think that price is in play. Other name guys here, by names I mean guys like with pedigree, I'm not sure their matchups are the best. Greinke, Hyunjin Ryu, Verlander, any of these guys interest you at all? I'm probably talking more DraftKings here.
Yeah, I guess Verlander, just because he's a real pitcher and the options are relatively limited. I mean, like if we don't go Salazar, things get a little tricky, and so I think, you know, Verlander does a fairly fair poor man Salazar impersonation. The thing is, you know, he's probably a little bit more expensive than we would want to pay. I don't know. I guess I'm just not really loving the way the lineups are coming together if we don't play Salazar. So that's my that's my bias coming through there. You know, Ryu is another guy. Like, I don't mind Ryu, but the Diamondbacks aren't exactly a phenomenal matchup. I don't know. Is there anyone who specifically jumps out?
No, not really. And that's what's going to make the Salazar thing tricky, because he's so far and away the best value here. I'm not in love with Verlander here. He's just been fine this season. He's definitely headed into out the pasture here, like in terms of age and just like what he's going to give you. Like, the strikeouts are down, the walks are up, the xFIP's up. I know he got traded, but pitchers, I don't know, change of scenery is not really a thing when you're kind of stuff is kind of going south. So
yeah, when you stink. Well, the thing is, it does allow, if you go double cheap either with Ryu or even if you go real deep like Eduardo Rodriguez or something like that, that allows you to play all those chorus bats. So if you just think tonight's one of those nights where it matters more to have the highest scoring team rather than the best pitcher, then maybe you get away with something. But yeah, I think that's why our system is also having difficulty paying up for DeGrom, because if you do pay up for DeGrom, then you don't get those excellent bats. So all in all, DraftKings is looking pretty dicey, but you know, it often comes together.
With Ryu, it's not great feeling rostering him against an Arizona team that has at least three bats in the middle of the lineup that are excellent against lefty pitching. JD Martinez, yeah. I don't know if you saw this, JD Martinez hit four home runs in the game last night. He was the first player, and that was with Rich Hill starting. He was the first player I think he was the first player in history to have more home runs than the opposing team had hits. Like, the Dodgers had three hits, and he had four home runs. So they'll be walking that lineup into Ryu here again. I'm just not – look, that him hitting four home runs last night doesn't really, like – that wouldn't like predispose me to playing one guy or another just because of what
it sounds like. Now you don't want to, because you think Martinez is going to hit four more home runs.
Four more, lock it up, dude. Eight in a row.
What we should take away from this. Well, so right now the DeGrom Waka lineup is a point and a half off of the top Salazar Waka lineup. And so I think, you know, as the day goes along, if any more cheap punt plays come along, that might wind up being where the system lands. But yeah, all in all, it's
point and a half, actually. Yeah, that's not all things told. That's not very that much.
It's only .7 below the top Ryu and Waka lineup. So yeah, I could see it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if you just take Salazar all the way down, and then DeGrom's pretty much there. Yeah, that's probably it. That likely, I'm realizing now, probably ends up that probably is where we end up, I would say, on DraftKings. I mean, again, this is like 9:30 in the morning. There's a lot of runway here to kind of have biggest lines move around and lineups come in, and so nothing's ever set this early in the morning. But yeah, I could definitely see that kind of working out. Other name guys going here: Kendricks against Pitt. I don't think he has enough strikeout stuff to really kind of want to get in on that, play. Odorizzi versus Minnesota. They're probably just too much on the offensive side of the ball. And then after that, there are guys that we're going to mention when we talk about stacks, because the list pretty much drops off. I do think, you know, unlike some other days, there is a decent amount of pitching to consider here, though I do think that some of the plays, at least for our system, are going to be pretty much crystallized, I think, earlier than later. All right, hit us up with a sponsor. We'll talk about some stacks.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to talk about NoHalftime.com. NoHalftime has a great app where you can go and make one-on-one daily fantasy challenges. So you pick a player, you pick a guy you think your guy's going to outperform, and then you issue an amount of money, and someone out there accepts it or they don't. If they accept it, it's game on. If not, you get your money back. Right now, NoHalftime is offering a special promotion for DFSR users where you can get an instant 50% bonus up to $50 with promo code DFSR on your first deposit. So if you haven't deposited there before, go ahead and deposit. You can get up to a $50, 50% bonus. So go check that out. We also, on our website, if you're ever just curious what kind of challenges are sitting around, NoHalftime helped us install a widget, which will have rotating NoHalftime challenges that you can click on and go. Kind of a cool little feature that also can get your mind turning on who the good plays are for the night. So head on over to the site, see the widget, or go to NoHalftime.com and use promo code DFSR to get started.
Yeah, NoHalftime is great. We just did a NoHalftime Takeover podcast where we just devoted around 40 to 50 minutes to just talking about what you can expect here for football on NoHalftime. So go check that out. That's up on our...
Oh, it's just such great conversation fodder. Like, also, if you're just chilling with your friends on a Sunday or whatever, some moron says, Aaron Rodgers stinks, he's overrated. Then you can just say, we'll take who do you want instead? And then they name some quarterback, and you can say, awesome, download NoHalftime, and let's settle it like men, Doug, or like people who are courageous regardless of their gender.
Yeah, like men who settle their hash by downloading an app and then just challenging their friends to things. Like, you know,
download this app, buddy. And then we'll see who's so tough.
It's a good time to remind you, too, that we also do our football podcast, which is we have a couple episodes already up there. So go over to iTunes, DFSR Football Podcast. You can take a listen and download and rate and review that one as well. That one has gotten great feedback to start the season. This is our second season of that. So go and check out that podcast as well. All right, let's talk some stacks before we get out of here today and record another football podcast. But you mentioned the game in Coors. That's going to be the game that is probably going to be where most people want to land, at least you would think, on the Rocky side of the ball here. Ty Block is pitching. Block is one of these guys that stinks. I don't really know another way to put it. what's the word I'm looking for? Sucks. His thing is could be complete death for a place like Coors, because he cannot strike anybody out. He is striking out 4 batters per 9 this year. If you can't strike people out in Coors, then you are just in big trouble, right? Like, there's really no what.
You have actually
right. There's just kind of no way around that, and the Vegas line represents that kind of the bullishness on the side of the Rockies. Their implied run line right now is creeping up towards 7. That's around as high as you'll ever see a run line for a team, and you really kind of need to be encouraged and need to have a guy like Block. Do you think that, you know, this is one of these reasons too? We want to try to pay down for pitching. You mentioned that before, but do you think this is a situation where the Rockies are in such a good spot here? Even with the variance of baseball and like the way that, like, you know, a guy like Ty Block can just go out there and shut them down. It's not likely, but it can happen. Do you think it's worth just paying all the way up for these top of the order bats, like specifically Arenado, you know, Reynolds here in a lefty-lefty or lefty-righty matchup, even Blackman possibly, like in a lefty-lefty matchup? Do you think that it's just worth the pay up for all these guys?
Yeah, if you can. It just all depends on what you prioritize for pitching. I'll say right now, even if you rolled DeGrom on DraftKings, the Colorado guys are still coming in the lineups. Like, you're still getting the full 5 Coors bats alongside of DeGrom. And that's just because Waka is so cheap. Like, you know, if you roster Waka and DeGrom, you're still spending under $20,000 for pitching, and that just leaves a lot of room for, you know, some of these more expensive guys. And this late in the season, too, while teams are experimenting or totally out of it or whatever else, there just inevitably will be guys under $3,000 batting in the top 4 on some teams somewhere. And I think that formula put together puts you in a spot where you actually
can't. Interested, I don't think, in the Giants side of the ball, just because they're pretty bad. I know they have a run line up over 5. There are other teams that have the same thing. Their prices have increased to some degree because of the Coors bump, though. You are still getting some of these guys on the cheaper side. The Giants are just a bad team, man. Like, they just can't. Even getting these guys in Coors against Tyler Chatwood with a decent run line, like 5 is their highest run line. It's got to be their highest implied runs of the season, I think. Like, we have them at 5.2 right now. I can't imagine there's been a time where they've been higher than this, just considering their park and just how bad they are. Even with that said, I'm not sure I really want to load up on Giants bats because the lineup is so garbage. I mean, like, Span, Panic, Crawford, Pablo Sandoval, the guy couldn't even like get out of the minors when the Red Sox, he's hitting 5th for this team. So I don't know. I mean, do you see the Giants as just like rocking a hard place? Like, yes, it's Coors, but their team's just not good enough.
Yeah, probably. There's also a bunch of other good options. And I think if you're going to go the Coors direction and you're just going to pay up for this game, like, I don't know why we just don't play the better hitters. You know, that's kind of where I'll land ultimately. I think that there are going to be some Giants who are cheap enough to consider, as, you know, guys you kind of plug in there around your other more expensive stacking bats today. But yeah, by and large, it's surprising to say for a Coors team going up against Tyler Chatwood, but I'm not
Pablo Sandoval is only 2K in FanDuel. That's interesting, but the problem there is you have Arenado, and it's like hard to think about getting away from that lefty righty matchup for him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's
right.
Exactly,
so like,
yeah,
it would be great if Sandoval was like an outfielder there, and you could kind of feel pretty good about it. But he just, you're right, happens to be at the position with the guy who's probably in the very best spot of anybody on the whole entire slate tonight, and that's Arenado. So I don't know why you would pivot the $2,000 salary there. Other stacks that we can take a look at here. There are some other bad pitchers. Where else is your eye trending outside of Coors?
Yeah, there's no shortage of bad pitchers going tonight. Where to begin, I guess. I guess I'll start with Jeremy Hellickson, just because he's a guy I love to hate. I just do, again. Hellickson this season allowing 1.84 home runs per 9 on the back of a 35% ground ball rate. He only strikes out a little bit more than Ty Block, or strikes out guys a little bit more with a 5.3 K rate. He really stinks. You know, he's just an extremely bad pitcher. He gets by on a pretty good BABIP, which, you know, kind of helped him sneak through. But going against the Yankees tonight, especially the top of that order, it's really hard to imagine, you know, in the same way that Block, in the same way that we talked about Block, that he gets through guys. You know, he goes through Gardner, Headley, and Judge, and even Didi in the cleanup spot. I just think that top four in particular is pretty well poised to bruise him up a bit. And if they do, I think you're going to really, he'll get chased from the game early. You get into that relatively soft Baltimore bullpen. I think the Yankees are pretty top heavy, so a lot of their run expectation is coming from the top of the lineup. And all in all, Hellickson's just he's a premier stack target. The fly ball rate and the home run rate mean that teams can put up
their huge run line goals. Probably drifts down a little bit with the Sanchez suspension. He started serving that suspension, I think, either yesterday or today. So he's on a 3-game suspension that's coming from the fight against Detroit after everyone lost their appeals. So the run line, I suspect, would have been a little higher had he been sitting in the middle of the lineup, and would have actually been just a fantastic catcher play. But with him suspended, I think that's why I actually think that's the only reason you see that implied run line kind of drifting below 5 right now. Just because the difference between going from him to Austin Romine, a catcher, and then kind of just pushing all some of these other guys up one spot in the order does do a little damage to the Yankees as a whole. But I do like, I'm with you on the top of the stacks, and I'm with you on Hellickson too. I think sometimes people are like, you know, this was going on in the chat room the other day, last time Hellickson pitched, and people were kind of talking themselves into him, and just because of the wins and the ERA. Wow. And I did one of those like chat spam things where like someone was talking about Hellickson in it, and then I just like made it so that I had like the next 19 comments just to kind of drive all the way. Oh, and then I was like querying Hellickson, and I went on a kind of a rage about like just could not figure out why people would like be interested in wanting to play the guy. And then he of course did one of these things where he like for the first 4 innings did a shutout, and then he had a complete blow up in the 5th. So yeah, no, he's not very good. I sometimes don't understand why people kind of like figure out or try to figure like a guy can get something done at a certain price, because Hellickson is just not that guy. Another one of those guys that falls into the not that good pitcher type, David Holmberg with the Indians here. Indians have just seemed like they've been on a run of just being able to facing like just like pretty bad pitchers. I can see them being a pretty popular target tonight. Their implied run line is up over 6 right now. Holmberg is, man, is he bad. Holy hell. Like 5 Ks per 9. And what's amazing about his stats, so his stats right now, 5 Ks per 9, 4.5 walks per 9, 6 xFIP. But a lot of his appearances are like out of the bullpen, where it's theoretically, or not even theoretically, just easier to pitch out of the bullpen, because you can like kind of just go up and throw your best 2 pitches and go through the order once. And that's why you see reliever ERAs and xFIPs like much lower than starters, because that's just an easier thing. Well, not for David Holmberg. That guy's got 27 relief appearances this year, 6 starts, 6 xFIP. He is awful. I do think you see the righty bats of the Indians here probably pretty popular, like Jose Ramirez, Edwin Encarnacion. They have the Lindor switch hits, although I think he's better from the left side. Do you think, I mean, from a cash game perspective, the matchup here is as good as the one with the Coors, with Block? Do you think the Indians make a suitable, just even like cash game pivot, considering how bad Holmberg is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure you need to pivot off of Coors, just because the pricing all kind of works out that way. But like, if you think that Coors is going to be overrepresented in big tournaments, I think the Indians are a great play. I think that if the way the money shook out, you know, for whatever reason that you wound up with a bunch of Indians, I don't think you should shy away from it. I think Holmberg really is that bad. But right now, you know, on both sites, we're seeing 4 Coors bats on FanDuel and 5 on DraftKings. And I think it's just because the pricing is just a little bit too low on those guys for the matchup and the spot and how Vegas interprets that game is going to go. So I love the Indians here. I think on any night where there wasn't such a juicy Coors spot, I would want to play as many of them as humanly possible. But I'm not sure I'm going to wind up with, you know, a full stack of them or anything.
Give us one more stack before we get out of here.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm going to give you a few one more stacks, Doug. Okay, because you don't tell me.
We just have something to do in 10 minutes, so you give us one.
That's okay. Well, I'll run through a few quickly, because I do think that there are a few that I was having difficulty deciding between, and I wouldn't want to leave anyone hanging, Doug. So I'll just highlight 3 poor pitchers in their matchups tonight. The Angels are going up against Kentel Graveman. Graveman, you know, he's a slightly richer man's version of Hellickson, which is to say lots of home runs, low K rate, kind of low walk rate, but just kind of generically average. The Mets are not a good offensive team, but they're going up against Ben Lively. Lively is in the discussion of worst pitcher on the slate, which is pretty remarkable on a slate with Hellickson, Bartolo Colon, and David Holmberg. But, I mean, this guy is about as bad as bad gets. He's got the high home run rate and low ground ball rate of Hellickson, but also a K rate even that comes in below Hellickson's. So He's probably, in my mind, the second worst pitcher on the slate besides Holmberg. And the Mets, to me, that makes them a really interesting stack for big tournaments because, you know, these guys all are major league hitters, right? Like, basically, you go up and down this lineup, and at some point in the minors, people were like, dude, this Travis d'Arnaud can really hit. You know, now I know he hasn't really done it that much in the majors, but if you're looking for someone to fill in, like if you wanted a stack to fill in around one of the premier stacks, like the Indians or Rockies, and you wanted to kind of go in that double stacking direction, I do think the Mets would be a great play.
Real quick on Lively, one of the reasons I want to see him get blown up is because some places call him Edward and some places call him Ben.
So you're ready for him to just be out of the majors based on our 100%.
The guys like this are the actual bane of my overall existence when guys just can't, like...
Eddie Ben, dude. Yeah. You call him Eddie Ben.
So we have a situation where I just hate the guy because of his name. So I'm happy to just have him get completely blown up. All right, what was the last team you wanted to say?
The only other one was Tampa Bay taking them against Bartolo Colon. Kind of similar to the Mets situation where it's not necessarily the big name bats that I'm keying in on here. More so, you know, the Rays are basically league average against right-handed pitching, but trying to get a stack, especially an under-owned stack against a guy like Bartolo Colon, is a recipe for big time upside. And again, given how much chalk there is, it's always interesting because for pitcher purposes, on any given night, there's really only a handful of pitchers that have the potential to be in the top slot in a GPP, right? Like, you know, you're not going to take like Jeremy Hellix and say he'll never, ever, ever be the pitcher in a top overall GPP lineup. Famous last words, I get it. But with hitters in opposing lineups, that's not really the case. Like, actually, any team in the majors on any given night can score the most runs. And just because that's the way baseball tends to work out. And you increase your odds when you're up against a terrible pitcher like Colon. So the Rays are definitely firmly in that kind of like Mets group for me of teams I might slot in around some of the more conventional
stuff. All right. I was half listening to that, but I'm sure it was really good. We're from DFSR.com. DFSR.com/NFL, which gets you a free 7-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We just had a big release last night. You go over there, you can check out our player lab, check out the leaderboard. We have a bunch of lineup pages for NFL. So dev team really knocked it out of the park to use the baseball term. Hit a grand slam on it.
Yeah. Scored a touchdown
on that home run with the dev work. So really proud of that. Go over the 7-day free trial, then just $29.95 a month after that. Another reminder, go check out our football podcast as well. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more baseball. Buddy, talk to you in a second.
Peace.